Thanks for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's show, the Yankees make a couple of minor moves, and Jameson Taillon talks about a bunch of things, including how he likes his coffee, the New York City subway, and his ankle injury and how he's rehabbing. All next on Locked On Yankees.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. I'm Stacey Gottsoulias, joined by my co-host, Abby Mastracco, and welcome to Locked On Yankees. It's a Friday night edition of Locked On Yankees. It's been a week. It has been a week, and yeah.
Has it ever been a week?
Right, Abby?
So I have COVID. I have tested negative. The testing has actually been a debacle. We are right eerily similar to like March 2020 vibes, which is not a good vibe. I mean, it's like very triggering if you were anywhere in the area in March. Long lines for testing, and the place that I went didn't even send me my test results. They were like, if we call you, if we don't call you, you're negative, which like wasn't good for me, and I just wanted to see, like,
right.
Or negative, whatever the word, the phraseology is. So I went back in. Okay, well, we're overwhelmed. We can't give you a shot. Come back. We'll give you. We do have your results, but if we call you, you're negative. And I took an at-home test that a friend gave me, which also said it was negative. I think I'm negative, but it's just I live with two people are positive, so we're texting each other when we're using the kid bathroom, and like one of my roommates even like she was like, you know, I just won't shask in the shower. Like they're being very cognizant of it on my account, which I very much appreciate, right. But like I feel like we're all wound up tight,
yeah,
right now because of this, so
yeah.
I think I'm gonna go stay in a hotel for the weekend and on Monday to see my family in California. Will not do if I have a negative test, because I'm not going to spread it around, you know, my nana, who's a cancer survivor, or really just anybody, even on the plane.
Right.
I don't want anybody else getting sick on my account.
Right.
So
yeah.
Everyone wear their masks and is blown up New York City again.
It really has.
Ooh.
Yeah, the numbers are crazy. Yeah. I mean, the good thing is a lot of us are vaccinated and boosted,
yes,
and
yep,
that will help with, I mean, you know, it's not going to help us not get it, but it's going to help us not be in an ICU with it. So, you know,
yes.
I'd rather not get it, obviously.
I'm boosted. I think that's probably why I didn't get it, because my two roommates both had booster shot appointments for, and they ended up with it. Like the day that they were supposed to get boosted, they got. You know, the hospitalization rate is not anything crazy right now, which is encouraging. Neither of my roommates even sick. They just felt like they had like minor,
yeah,
colds, and they tested out of an abundance of caution because we live with other people. So we're trying to be courteous to each other, and that's why they got tested. And, you know, we're using masks in the common areas. Luckily, it's like we do have a patio, doing work on the patio the last couple days. Like, I took my space heater out onto the patio because it's really warm anyway. So I've been.
I was
going
to say climate change is helping with that, huh?
A little bit, yeah. I took my space heater out onto our balcony, and like in the summer, we have a grill, and for lunch, I did grill some chicken today because I was like, I'm out here.
Yeah, you might as well.
I'm out. You know, I had a barbecue, and one of my neighbors came at me on his balcony. He's like, are you barbecuing December? I was like, don't worry about it, buddy. We are doing what we have to do right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I was joking how I'm not going to leave my house for the next few months, which isn't unusual because when, wait a minute. Oh, I left the house to get my booster, but before that, my cousin's wedding in September? Right? I think. I don't know, because my mom got a new car, and the first time I went in it, she had it for like 2 months. And I said to her the day of the booster, I said, this is the first time I'm in this thing. This is great. Now, before we get into baseball talk, let's remind everyone how they can listen to us. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. You can watch us on YouTube. Check out this background behind me. My brother has the cool room in the house. And if you tell your smart device to play a podcast, you can tell it to play podcast Locked On Yankees, and it should work. So, yeah, there you go. With the lockout happening, moves can be made, but only minor.
Minor league moves.
Yeah.
You know, I will say, like, I cover hockey, and hockey is having a lot of issues with COVID outbreaks, right?
And basketball, too,
COVID,
right?
Outbreaks if you lock out your players.
Right. That's true.
No one's allowed to utilities. No one's getting COVID. I mean, maybe they are in, like, their home. You know, we're not, like, shutting down any MLB facilities for COVID just because they're already shut down. Owners locked them out anyway, but.
Right. Right. Yeah. That actually works in baseball's favor.
Line. Yeah.
So there were two moves within the last 2 days. The Yankees are in agreement on a minor league deal with reliever Jimmy Cordero. That was reported by John Heyman. Cordero is 30 years old, and he was outrighted by the White Sox, you know, basically tossed off their 40-man roster at the end of the season. He's appeared in parts of three big league seasons. He broke in with the Nationals in 2018. He's also appeared with the Blue Jays and the White Sox over the last couple of years. He pitched to a 2.75 ERA over 36 innings with Chicago in 2019, but struggled in 2020, and he missed the entire 2021 campaign with Tommy John surgery. You know, again, it's a minor move, and I mean, yeah, you know, hey,
fine.
It's a body.
He's a nice step stash down in AAA, and if you need some major league in because of injuries or ineffectiveness, he can give you a major league outing. It's fine.
Right.
It's a depth move, organizational depth move. Let's put that, because I wouldn't say it's like a, you know, bullpen depth move. It's just an organization move. We're going to start to see a lot of those coming in.
Mm-hmm. It looks like Ender Inciarte is also that kind of a move.
Yeah.
The Yankees made a minor league deal with him as well. He plays center field. Won three Golden Globes. What? Gold Gloves with the Braves. That would be amazing if a baseball player won a Golden Globe. Huh. Well, there is someone who played baseball and won, I believe he won a daytime Emmy, John Berardino. He was on General Hospital. He played Steve Harvey for years. He passed away like 25 years ago now, but he played for the St. Louis Browns. And he's one of the only people who, I believe he actually, someone else he played for, I think he won a World Series and has like a daytime Emmy. He's like the only person to have that happen. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
The actor who played Luke on Gilmore Girls, think of like the lower levels of the minor leagues or something like that, or maybe college baseball, but like I interviewed with him years ago where he was talking about his career was at a crossroads and he could either like keep playing baseball or act, and he's like, but I wasn't very good at baseball, so try his hand at acting, because you know that's so much easier than becoming a major leaguer. But I guess it was for him. It worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that's not an easy career either. You know, I can't even believe I'm going to say this, but I was an acting major in college for the first half of college, and I actually graduated with a performing arts degree. It's an associate's, but it's a performing arts degree. Thank you very much. And I took acting classes, and that's why I am the way I am. So, yeah. But Ender Inciarte,
yes.
You know, again, it's another one of those moves, just like Cordero and other people that they've made moves with minor league moves. I mean, you know, who knows? You might see him playing the outfield. You know, hopefully
he
won't
get a good defensive depth. And then it was pretty clear that he didn't really have a role on the Braves moving forward. I think him, I want to say last winter, It's just, you know, they remade their entire outfield after Acuña went down, and he still didn't have writing sort of on right. the wall. And, you know, it's a low risk move. He might still have something good left in the defender. He runs the base as well. It's a good, it's a good move. Good depth move. It's a good kind of have around.
Yeah. I see nothing wrong with it. And again, you know, we never know how the Yankees are going to be, how people are going to, if they're going to last the season, if they're, you know, going to go on the IL for 40 days or whatever the hell it is. So it's always good to have that extra protection there. Can't think of a good segue for this. So it's the holiday season. And, you know, if you're recovering from an injury, eat a Built Bar, honestly, because they're full of protein. They taste good. And it'll make you think like you're, you know, eating a candy bar, but you're not, because it's really good for you. They're delicious and healthy. Tons of flavors. They give you extra fuel if you need it. And people are so passionate about their favorite flavors that, you know, they'll fight for them. Like I say all the time, mint brownie, don't come near my mint brownie. If you want to take a coconut away from me, that's fine, even though I like them. But mint brownie, no, you can't touch them. You can dip your Built Bar into hot cocoa. I haven't tried that yet, but I'm really tempted to. And if you like marshmallowy treats, they have Built Bar Puffs. I've tried those. Really, really good. So if you want to try any of Built Bar's delicious protein bars or protein puffs, go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. It's a pretty good deal. And they have new flavors coming out all the time. So check out builtbar.com. Thanks again for making Locked On Yankees your first listen. We're free and available on all platforms. The first thing that I saw about this Jameson Taillon article in The Athletic was I didn't see the original tweet from Lindsay Adler advertising it, you know, as we do as writers, we put our stuff out. I saw a comment about what he said about the subway, and I thought it was so funny because I'm just wondering, as an outsider, what was it like for you when you first got here and saw the subway system? Because it has to be intimidating to people who don't live here, because it's kind of insane compared to other cities.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, before I left LA, they had expanded the metro and stop a few blocks away from my apartment, which I was taking to downtown LA when I covered the Kings. And that was very convenient. And I was like, I'm prepared to move to New York now. Oh, no, I was not prepared. I was in no way prepared. So in 2014, best friend did like a work-life swap with her East counterpart. Did you ever see that movie, The Day?
I love that movie.
Okay, so when Cameron Diaz goes to England,
yeah.
Then the girl goes to LA, sleeps in camp. So my friend did that for 6 months with his counterpart. Their PR company let them do it. They were like, you know, whatever, if the work's getting done, then, you know, who
cares?
That's
so cool.
So
I would love to do that with someone.
We lived in this girl's apartment in Greenpoint. I went to visit her, and we were going to a 49ers Giants game out at out in New Jersey. So not only did we have to navigate the subway to get there from Green, we had to navigate New Jersey Transit. And she had been here for a few months, so it wasn't that difficult for her. But like, she still was not very comfortable with it. So we were going to that game. I was like, and did. And so I'm coming into New York thinking in LA, and one time in 2014, I correctly routed us to New Jersey. The locals and the expresses were difficult to route at first. You know, I kept jumping on a 6 when I didn't. I was like, you know, why is there so many stops? You know, getting out of a subway station and not knowing where to go. Like, well, now I know because it's the avenues, but like now when people come into town, they're like, I think I'm going to take the red line or the blue line. I'm like, but which red line, which blue, like which number? Right. I'm not going to get on a 1 with you. If we're going all the way up town, I don't need to go on we're going to need to go up to Madison Square Garden. Like, but I remember thinking I did this a few times. And I can totally do it. But now it's much easier now that I've been here for 5 years and I, you know, commute on the path for a New Jersey Transit for covering the Devils. It's its own monster. That's a strange scene. Like, I want to know the weirdest things Jameson Taillon has maybe seen on the subway. And I totally him when he says he hates taking cars in the city, like, because it just takes forever. There's so much traffic. It's so true.
Yeah.
Coming from LA, I could have told you that. Friends, I'm
Yeah.
like, just take the subway, just take the subway. And inevitably, I mean, I have a couple friends who are those people in Manhattan, never leave Manhattan and they never take the subway. They've never seen me in Brooklyn. I'm sure you know the type. We all have one of those
Oh.
friends.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, like, I get why he wanted to take cars to the stadium, but like, it's actually more reliable, especially if you're trying to get there in the afternoon. I just want
Oh
to
yeah.
know, because like those, when you go way uptown like that, you get some on the trains. And I would love to know the weirdest encounter or the weirdest thing Jameson Taillon has seen on that way.
Yeah, especially
What's the
going up to the
scene? You
Bronx.
you're like a lifelong New Yorker.
Ooh. Well, human poop. And we knew it was human, and we were all like we're like, that's definitely not dog poop. And we're like, oh my God. Thank God it was in the corner of the A train when we first got on, because I used to live in Inwood and I was all the way up at the top of the A train at 207th Street. That was the first stop. And I looked and I was like, that's gonna wake me up. Okay, great. I've heard
Oh
people
God.
clipping nails on the train. That was another A train experience. Between 125th to 59th when it goes express, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, am I like, I must have made a face because this girl across from me looked at me and she was like we were both looking at each other like, are we hearing that correctly? And then we looked and some woman was clipping her nails on the subway and I'm like,
No.
what? Oh yeah, oh yes, yeah. My favorite thing though is you were talking about local and express and accidentally taking them, but it's even better when you're on a train and it decides to go local instead of express or
Yeah.
vice versa when you
Yeah.
need to, and you're like, hello. So then you have to go, if it decides to go express instead of local, you have to go all the way up to wherever the train stops and then have to come back down the opposite way. That actually happened to me going to Yankee Stadium one
This happened to me a
time.
few
They're
times
like,
going to Yankee Stadium. Yeah.
yeah, they're like, oh, we have to skip 161st Street, so we're gonna go up to Fordham Road. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, could you have told me this at 149th Street and then I would have just walked up to 161st Street? Like, what are you doing?
I've been in a subway with like angry Yankee fans. Very angry Yankee fans. Like, and I, when I
I
first
just
moved,
don't understand how.
when I
Well, no,
first
you know
moved
what?
here.
New Yorkers don't, they don't bother people. Like, I've seen famous people on the subway and you don't say
No, you,
anything.
they don't
You're just
bother. No.
like, yeah, you don't.
No,
So
it's
when
the same
he's.
in LA. If you see somebody in LA, you don't say anything. Robert Downey Jr. used to live down the street from me and in a much nicer apartment, a much
Of
nicer
course.
house. Ooh, it was a lot nicer than mine. He was like, he's actually like very involved with Venice Beach, like city council and stuff like that. I'd see him all the time at this bar, the Brig, and you just like kind of let him sit in the corner. It's like a dark bar anyway. Like why bother him? You know, like it's same with in New York. Like you don't, I don't know. We're so unfazed by those things. Have you seen any famous people on the subway? Yeah.
Not overly famous, but I did see Caroline from 16 Candles, the blonde girl.
Oh,
Although
okay.
she's a
Good
redhead
one.
now, and she's a real estate agent. She was on the C train because when I would come down from Inwood, if I was early for work, I would at 125th Street sometimes just switch to the local and just because I'm like, I'm not getting to work too early. So I would switch trains and she got on at like maybe 81st Street. And I like looked and I was like, and I didn't say anything, but I was just thinking in my head, I'm like, oh my God, it's Caroline from 16 Candles. This is so cool. I saw Richard Kind on the M5 bus one time going up to I was going up to my therapist's office and I looked and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, he's taking a bus. That's so cool. Like, the subway's one thing, but if you see a person who's been on
On a
TV on a
bus.
bus, yeah, it's a little almost
Okay, they wouldn't do
disconcerting,
that
but
in LA.
yeah. But I like that Tyone was like, yeah, no more. I'm not doing this car nonsense. Just tell me what the subway system, tell me how to use the subway system and I'll get used to it. And he did.
It's so much more convenient. It's green. You know, you're saving the environment. I drove in LA, obviously. I mean, I'm from California, but like, so I moving out here, I got rid of my car. I didn't even get rid of it right away. I kept it at my parents' house because I was like, I've had a car for half my life. I just couldn't quite give it up. And then I eventually had to sell it because it was like, I'm not taking it out here. It's fine. But like, I spent so much time sitting in my car in traffic in Southern California. And if they made public transportation more accessible there, more people would use it. A lot more people would use it.
Yeah.
And it's better for everybody. Look, it's better for your own pocket too. You're not spending so much money on gas. You're helping save the planet. Although California is going to go to zero emissions vehicles, but you know, it's going to take years before they can like fully enact, you know, everyone has gone to zero. I don't think anybody's ever going to go to zero emission. They're only going to start selling them. And I think in a couple of years, something like that. And I very much enjoy the subway in a weird way. I thought I would hate it coming from California, but I really don't. There's been some weird incidents. Like when I first moved here, a guy had a parrot and he had it just like flying around the subway car. And then it landed on my leg and he was looking at me and he's like, he's friendly. Your bird.
Don't worry.
I don't care. I don't want your bird on my leg.
I know. What if it poops? Like,
yeah. But well, I mean, it has talons and this bird's just like, this parrot's looking at me. I had just moved here. I don't like birds to begin with. And that was one of the worst ones. Like, it's different when it's like on somebody else, but it landed on my leg. I'm told that there is, I've seen the TikTok video and one of my roommates has seen this guy. He's like sort of infamous, I guess, around parts of Brooklyn. He has two giant pythons that he pushes around in a stroller and he brings them on the subway. I've seen the TikTok and it's terrifying as somebody. My roommate's seen him a few times. Apparently, like him and his friends are like, yeah, no, we see that guy all the time. I'm like, I'm taking the same subway as you are and I don't want to see him.
No, I showed that TikTok to my brother and he literally, his face was like. And if you're just listening to the podcast, I bulged my eyes out because my brother could not believe what he was seeing. Because you do expect to see weird things on the subway, but not snakes on a train.
Not just like a giant yellow pie got out of the stroller. Also, like, why is it in the stroller?
Yeah, I would have.
Like a baby stroller.
Yeah, no, I would have flipped out because Stacey doesn't do snakes. No.
I'd take the bird over the snake any day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. See, I can't even segue into this either. Are we going to bet on snakes taking over the subway?
We're going to slither into this next one. Yeah,
we'll slither into this next one. So BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues its march to the playoffs, with some games being canceled because of COVID or at least pushed back. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So Jamison Tyone not only takes the subway now, like a true New Yorker, he's still rehabbing from his ankle injury, which he stated is a very rare injury for a pitcher. Now, I'm hoping he meant it's rare for a pitcher because usually pitchers injure their arms and not their ankles, and not that it's so rare because he did something so screwed up to his foot that...
Well, you know, they're not exactly using their lower halves in the same way that... outfielders and fielders or, you know, anybody who's taken some reps at the plate. What he meant was it's rare for a pitcher. And this was discussed too when the Yankees were doing some exit interviews, and Brian Cashman met with the media. When was that? The end of October. Towards the end, I'm trying to think. I was in Philly working on a story, and that was the end of October. So it's not as bad as an elbow injury for a pitcher. Like, it's
true.
It could be worse. I think that Tyone, I liked that. I liked the addition of him last year, and he really kept the Yankees in some important games. And he talked about that game, a really bad game in Anaheim that he had with Lindsay. And I read that, and I was there working on a Shohei Ohtani story. And I thought, like, that's sort of the outings I had seen for him, he'd been very solid.
Yes.
This was a little bit uncharacteristic. That was a little bit uncharacteristic for him. And then I saw his next one in New York, and he was pretty solid again. I would say that he was wasn't the flashiest pitcher. We know he's not an ace.
Right.
But I was trying to think about this today. Who are some low risk, possibly high reward signings similar, like in the Tyone care category? That the Yankees could possibly go after for some pitching help.
Right.
When, if the owners ever unlock those doors.
Right.
Because he doesn't cost a lot. He's kind of a workhorse, and you can give him some innings. The injury history. Yeah. I mean, honestly, show me a pitcher that doesn't have an injury history at this point.
Right.
There's not a lot of pitchers out there that didn't have Tommy John. So I was trying to think of maybe some pitchers that could be in his category. Maybe we'll discuss that on another episode because,
Is it because pitchers are throwing harder, or is it because they're being asked to throw different types of pitches? Like, I wonder how that.
So soft tissue injuries tend to be overuse injuries, right?
Mm.
They are throwing more innings at younger ages. Mm. They are throwing more pitches at younger ages. I've talked with some doctors about how bad it is to throw sliders at a young age, but there are still coaches who are going to start getting guys to throw sliders because, you know, the club teams are good and they're moving these kids up levels and they play all year round, especially, I mean, where I'm from California, and they play all year round, which is why California, Arizona, Texas, Florida tend to be sort of baseball factories because right. You can get them in club sports and they just play from January or without a lot of breaks. That's a lot of tax. Your arm gets taxed from a very young, I had a conversation yesterday with, it was not necessarily about baseball. It was a member of the 1980 Miracle on Ice Olympic team, and he coaches hockey in Minnesota. And he said, kids need to be more well-rounded when it comes to youth sports up through high school. He said, if they're really good and they're showing that they may possibly be elite at a certain level, then, or maybe not elite, but like they may have some like chances at like college, whether or not it's like a high level college program or not, then you let them go into one sport or like the beginning of high school or the middle high school. He said, in general, in multiple sports actually don't have as many injuries or the same like severity of injuries because they are taking breaks in between sports sometimes. And they're not the baseball guys aren't just throwing all year round. They're taking a break and they're playing hockey or they're playing football. And I have written on this. I have talked to many doctors, many youth coaches. It's sort of a combination of things. Plus, we had the pandemic, we had the shutdown last year and guys really ramped up at different levels, different speeds than they're used to. It was just sort of a perfect storm that led to a lot of injuries, increase in injuries this year. And we're not going to stop seeing the overuse injuries go away. It's a question of how best can we try and prevent them and manage them, which is sort of the age-old question in baseball. You know, teams have sort of been trying and failing at that for years. And it kind of starts at the youth level.
I'm always shocked by the guys that are able to come back from two Tommy John surgeries, because I've said this before. I read Jeff Passan's book, and I didn't realize what went into Tommy John surgery until I read the book and what they need to do, and how there's really not that much room there for you for them to do what they need to do.
It's a fascinating surgery.
It really is. Like, the fact that they came up with this solution, you know, like, it's just, I'm fascinated by all that stuff, like the medical process and people being smart enough to come up with their own way of performing a surgery, and then other doctors being like, oh yeah, and then it becomes a phenomenon kind of thing. You know, I've had my lazy eye operated on 3 different times. 9 months old, 9 years old, 26 years old. The 26-year-old surgery lasted, I would say, a good 15 years, but then, you know, looking on my laptop all the time, and, you know, my eye was just like, nope, it's not as bad as it was. And my doctor at that time was Renee Richards, who was very famous for being a trans woman in the 70s who played tennis and then went into eye doctors. She became an ophthalmologist, and she pioneered the surgery for the lazy eye, mostly on children. Wow. But I went into her office anyway at 26 years old because my coworker recommended her. They played golf together. And she came up with, she did the surgery completely different than the surgeon who did my surgery when I was 9, because my eye was going lazy within 2 years after that second surgery that I had. And Renee really pioneered that surgery. And she joked that if my eye went lazy again, she would fix it for me. She's like, but it's not going to go lazy again. But it did, because it was my fault. But Renee is retired. She's like 84 now. And she was, you know, but she has, she probably has proteges somewhere that I'm going to have to be like, hi, I'm one of Renee's old patients. Can you do my eye again? But I just find it so fascinating that these doctors come up with these surgeries and different rehabs and this and that. I'm trying to think of.
I can tell you all about that. I had my shoulder operated on when I was in college, and it's a surgery that a lot of baseball guys have, and it's really helped me actually in my reporting understand when players of any sort of any position, or even a lot of the hockey guys I deal with have had shoulder surgeries, and Michael Conforto and I actually had a long talk about shoulder surgery and rehab after his, because he wasn't exactly sure like the function that his capsule served. And I was right there with him. I was like, yeah, I didn't even know I had a capsule until they told me they removed it.
Yeah, there's certain parts of your body you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I know I learned stuff in biology, capsule, but didn't know that.
Posterior capsule. And it's really helped me in my reporting understand like some of their rehab timelines. However, I throw like a girl, so I don't know how any of these guys come back from the same surgery that I had and throw 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I would play pickup beach volleyball when I lived in Southern California, and I was very careful to I was sort of the one exception to the rule, because like the games down there get very competitive. I wouldn't serve overhand because I was afraid of like re-injuring. I did re-injure my shoulder playing volleyball a few years after college, not in that pickup league, and I was working for the volleyball team at a college in Baltimore, and I shouldn't have done it. I jumped for a ball with too much force, re-tore my labrum. So when I played volleyball in LA, I was pretty conscious of I was the only one that they let serve underhand, and I have built up a lot more strength, but it's still never, I can still feel like, maybe it's because there's a lot of metal in there. It just feels different. Like it gets tired easily. If I have a purse on my right shoulder for too long, I'll switch it to my left because it feels like it's getting tired.
Yeah.
In college, I was such a big note taker because I just retain information better if I write it down. And if I had my laptop out in front of me, I'd just be, messing around on looking at Facebook in college. I don't have a password anymore. But I know how different and how my shoulder feels. I don't know how they go out there and they just continue to pitch after a surgery like that. It feels so much different. And I had that surgery in I was 21 and I'm 35 now. So it, yeah, I
Yeah.
really, I don't know how baseball players do it. Although they do say that the shoulder is the kiss of death for pitchers, not the elbow, the shoulder.
Right. Yeah, the shoulder's the bad one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually hurt my shoulder in 2013, but I think I never went to a doctor, but it was hurting me for, I think it hurt for like 9 months. And anytime I raised it, anytime I accidentally slept on it, it was so bad. And I don't think I had insurance at the time, which is why I didn't want to go to the doctor. And then it went away after 9 months. But I mean, I would put my arm up. I went to shoot a basketball with my guy friends. We went up to my college for like a mini reunion and they were shooting around. I was like, oh, I'm going to shoot. The pain was so bad that I grayed out after I tried to shoot the ball. And they were like, are you okay? I almost fell over. They're like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Fine. I still don't know what was
My
wrong with me. Never happened
shoulder
again. I don't have. Yeah. I mean, oof. But yeah, when you think about that, though, I would be terrified to come back from a shoulder surgery. I had to say that slowly because you can never say that right. An elbow surgery, you know, especially when your livelihood depends on your arm and what happens to it. And I just can't even imagine the pressure and the anxiety of coming back from something like that. And for Tyone to come back from Tommy John twice, right? He's one of the two, and Nathan Eovaldi had two. And it's just amazing to me. But before we go, because we have to cut this short, Tyone mentioned how he brews his coffee, which I thought was funny because he was talking about making cold brew. But he was also talking about watching YouTube videos about it, which I thought was so funny because I'm one of those people that always goes to YouTube to check on things and see how things are done. I thought that was funny. How do you like your coffee? Do you drink coffee or are you a coffee drinker?
Oh, I drink a ton of it. It's ridiculous how much coffee I drink. French press. I would like before the shutdown, I was doing a story with a guy who used to play for the Devils, Connor Carrick, who if you've ever like looked at his social media, it's like 99% coffee, and then his dog Hoagie, who's adorable. He is very serious about his coffee, and we were doing a story on like him and his coffee, and he was like just absolutely raving about the Chemex. And I was at a hotel that had a Chemex in the like in the coffee shop. Where was I? Toronto. They had a coffee shop in the lobby, and I had told the guy at the I ended up at the team hotel, which I rarely do. I hate ending up at the team hotel, but I was that time. And I told them, I was like, oh, you have a Chemex? And he's like, yeah, did Carrick send you here? So he was explaining to me all about the Chemex. And I like the coffee was fantastic, I have to say. Part of that was like the actual roast though, you know. They used goat
Right.
beans and it, like I really want a Chemex, but I just haven't we have so little counter space in our apartment and the French press is fine. We also like James and Dion said, like sometimes he just uses like a good old fashioned coffee pot. Well, since my roommates can't really leave their rooms right now, I've been, you know, ditching the French press and using the coffee pot, and I've just been making coffee and breakfast for everybody this whole week and like just leaving it outside their door so that they minimize their use of the common space. I mean, they're wearing masks, but still, just to like minimize the my exposure. They're doing their own
Right.
dishes though. I draw the line somewhere. But they have, they told me that they're like, yesterday, my roommate Allie was like, your coffee is like rocket fuel. What do you do? I was like, I make it very strong. I will scale back if you guys need me to. I make it very strong. And the other roommate said, it's like coffee flavored mud. It's so thick. Yeah, that's another thing. I just might, I really, I make it very strong.
Yeah, see, I'm one of those people that I have to have it sweet. I can't have it regular. It's so bad. And I know that's bad, but I can't help myself. It's just, I'm like that with wine too. I can't drink wine that's not sweet. So
Oh, I
it's
can't
just,
drink sweet.
yeah, I'm like all about Rieslings and I like a good rosé and a good Chardonnay
Do
sometimes,
like a
but
dry rosé.
yeah. But yeah, I'm all about the sweet stuff for some reason. And it's odd because when we were talking about food the other day and you were talking about how you like salty stuff, I love salty stuff. Potato chips, sunflower seeds, I could live on those. and when I crave things, I'm usually craving potato chips or sunflower seeds. So it's kind of weird that my coffee needs to be so sweet all the time. But yeah, I go through creamer like you would not believe. And it's just really bad. Like, I think I went through a regular size of Coffee Mate creamer. I think I started it on Wednesday. And I'm almost out now. And it's only Friday.
It's just like that's pure sugar. Like, if you look at the ingredients, there's like no real cream in there. It's just sugar.
Yeah. And
I do use some coffee creamer. Like, some of the, I enjoy like a little bit of the flavored stuff, but like, I use the, like, either like the like almond milk cream or the, I don't know, the stuff that's like just flavored milk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's like a little bit less sweet. It's just, you know, I'm very sensitive to sugar too much and like my teeth hurt.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I don't, but that's the only thing I like that's sweet, really. Like, I'm not a big cake person. I'm not a big cookie person, you know? So I think it kind of balances out a little bit, but yeah. But let's see. Is there anything else? No, I don't think there is. But I would
on in baseball right now.
Yeah. Like, I would love to be able to get Tyone on here to talk to us about being on the subway. And if he's seen anything strange.
Any player.
Yeah.
Any New York player, if you'd like to talk to us about some strange things that you have seen on the New York City subway.
Yeah, like any, especially coming back from games, because if you're taking them at, you know, if you're taking the subway at like 11:30 at night, you're guaranteed to see some weird stuff on the New York City subway.
I saw Terry Collins on the 7th line one time at like 11:30 at night when I was covering the Mets.
Nice. Yeah, I used to try and see if I could see people. But I was always going the opposite way when I was living in Inwood, because I would take the 4 up to Fordham and then take a bus over because it was just easier for me to get to Manhattan that way. So I would never see anyone. It would always be a big bummer.
It was after a particularly bad game. I looked over and saw Terry, and he was in the same subway car, and we just sort of nodded. And, you know, then enough, like, there was a pretty empty car, too. And I was like, new on the beat, and I'm like, what do I do? Is this my opportunity for like a one-on-one? And he actually moved over and he was like, hey, how's it going? And we made some small talk, you know. And I forget who it was that blew up on the mound that night, and he was like, boy, wasn't that bad. And which is a lot a lot more candid than when he, in his post-game press conference, he was like, you know, he had a bad night, he just didn't have the fastball working for him. And then candid Terry is like, oh boy, that was bad. Like, he got off at the next stop. It was like, we were cordial, and like, for the most part, I try and like give, outside of like working, you know, time, I try and like give them their space. Yes, I'm a reporter, so I'm gonna need to text them for information, and some of them we've developed like friendships and stuff. But it was just such a bad game that night. I didn't know how to approach Terry on the subway. And I didn't even immediately realize it was him, because I was used to seeing him wearing a uniform.
Right, right. Which is, you know, what I said earlier about, you know, one, New Yorkers don't really bother famous people or, you know, recognizable people. But it really is, unless it's a famous baseball player, and even if it is, sometimes seeing them out of the uniform is really disconcerting, and you're kind of like, wait, is that person? And you have to, because you're used to seeing them in hats and wearing pajamas for a living, you know? So it's like, it's just something completely different.
And if you're a beat writer, you do see them come in the locker room, like in and out of games. You do see them like before they get on a flight, and they're dressed really nice. Or you see them, I mean, I've seen guys out a lot at restaurants in certain cities, because you tend to stay by the ballpark, and you know, I see them out a little bit on the road.
Yeah.
But there are always certain people who, without a hat, I do not recognize.
Yeah.
I saw Mike Socha at an Anaheim Ducks game wearing a Philadelphia Flyers jersey years ago. And I was out on the concourse just like saying hello to some friends before the game, because I was working, I was covering that game. So I was going back up into the press box, and Mike Socha turned around. He was like just getting concessions like everybody else. And he turned around and he's wearing a Flyers jersey, and somebody was like, somebody just booed him because he was wearing a Flyers jersey. And then I heard somebody, I heard somebody in the back, like behind me, be like, stop it. You can't boo Mike Socha. That's Mike Socha.
That's so funny. Like, speaking speaking of Anaheim, I recorded a crossover episode with Steve Granato of Locked On Angels, and we talk about 09, we talk about different Yankees Angels things, comparing the Yankees and Angels because they're very similar ownership wise, and it was a pretty cool conversation. And he woke up early West Coast to record with me, which was very nice of him, so I appreciate that. That'll be up on Monday, so I just wanted to let everyone know to look forward to that, because you mentioned Anaheim. I was like, oh, there's a segue that actually worked.
I've worked with Steve a little bit when I was in California, and I can vouch for him. He is very knowledgeable with the Angels and also just a really nice guy.
He really is. He is. It was a fun conversation, and maybe we can get him on, three of us. Yeah. We'll do another crossover at some point. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Make your second listen of the day Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We'd really appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you soon.